This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Party camps are just around the corner. A month from tomorrow, you guys are going to be in Harrison. A little after that, you'll be in Little Rock. What's the excitement level been like these last couple weeks?
Oh, I mean, it's great, guys. I mean, camps are filling up fast, and our enrollment is limited. And so, anyone listening out there, if you're looking at attending the camps this year, this is for ages 7 through 15 years old, get in as soon as possible because they are really filling up fast. This is the 24th year of these Brandon Burlsworth football camps.
Marty, you always have former players. Who you got in line to help out the kiddos this year?
We will have some of our regulars, just the best guys, like Ron Calcagni and Anthony Lucas, Jodine Davenport, and, a really good list of guys. We don't have everyone confirmed just yet, but we'll have a real big, we'll have anywhere from 15 to 20 former Razorbacks, and we'll have some current Razorback players, too. Now we're able to do that. I mean, everyone's volunteering, all of us volunteering for these camps. But we're able to have current Razorback players also, so that's pretty cool. Kind of, it's different since NIL came in. They're able to volunteer now, where in the past they had not been able to. So we don't have any names to announce right now for that. But we really never announce the names anyway. People, it's got to be where the camps kind of they've got a reputation of their own, and we've got campers that come back year after year, same campers come back year after year after year, not only in the state of Arkansas, but from other states.
Yeah, Marty, good to talk to you this morning. I know, we got a wide geographic audience, and you've got strategically placed camps, one in Little Rock and then one in Harrison. So, give us the dates and also the locations, because I know if someone's listening kind of in between the Little Rock or Harrison location, they can maybe figure out what's best for their kids.
Right, yeah, probably May 31st is our Harrison camp. We have it in our high school stadium, FS Garrison Stadium. Really nice facility here in Harrison, and we also have an indoor facility that we'll utilize during camp. And then in Little Rock, June 1st, Saturday, June 1st, will be at War Memorial. And the camp fee is just $45 if you pre-register. And also, we you know, anyone listening that knows of a child that's not able to attend, can't afford even the $45, you know, just get in touch with us, and we have camp scholarships available. And, you know, if there's businesses out there or individuals that want to sponsor children, the same thing, get in touch with us, because these camps are for everyone. And you know, we start just like the Bulls kids, you know, this is the program that we want. We don't want to exclude anyone that wants to be a part of it. They not only learn a lot of good football, but they get a lot of great life lessons at these camps.
And you mentioned the Burles kids. That's always kind of a game day tradition or something. I always notice is when they put the Burles kids on the big screen. Mm-hmm. And you know, John George always says a lot of these kids are seeing the Razorbacks for the first time, and that's a true statement. And one of y'all's missions is to, you know, introduce kids to the greatest team sport there is, and that's football. There's so many life lessons, as you said, can be learned from just being a part of a team and having people besides your parents hold you accountable.
Yeah, exactly, Tommy. And you know, the Burles Kids program, that was the first thing we did, and that's something Brandon and I had talked about, not at the college level, but, you know, at the NFL, because we never really seen that done. I don't know of another instance of a program like that on the college level, but when we still have Burles Kids in Indianapolis to this day, but these are children that have never had that opportunity. And one of the great things about that program over the years that we've learned is it's not only are they able to see the very first Razorback game or Indianapolis Colts game, but also in Arkansas be able to be on a college campus. And these children, you know, come from less than ideal home situations, and maybe, you know, college has never been on their radar. And we have documented instances of kids that have gone on to attend the University of Arkansas. Johnny Gibson, former Razorback offensive lineman, for instance, was a Burles kid before he became a Razorback football player, and I know of a Razorback cheerleader, and there's so many more, I'm sure, that we don't know of. But we're able, just from having that experience of visiting, you know, being at the Razorback game and getting a tour of college campus, see what that's all about.
All right.
To open their eyes to what the future could be.
All right, give us the contact info one more time, and, you know, we'll make sure everybody is fully aware. And I know that there's a website, too, they can go to.
Yeah, it's real, Tom. It's real easy to register. It's just BrandonBurlesworth.org. Football camp dates May 31st, June 1st, and ages, boys and girls, ages 7 through 15 years old. If you have need any additional information, just email info@BurlesWorth.org. And we're looking forward to another great year of the Brandon Burlesworth football camps.
All right, BrandonBurlesworth.org. You can register there. And again, May 31st in Harrison, June the 1st at War Memorial. Buddy, it's good to hear from you this morning, and maybe we'll catch up one more time right before the camps get underway.
All right, Tommy. Hey, man, I appreciate it. Good talking to you. Thanks, guys.
Marty Burlesworth, the late Brandon Burlesworth, such an inspiration to a lot of people, and not just the movie, but also the recent SEC documentary that centered a lot, you know,
true
around
character.
That true characters around that 98 team, but a lot of Brandon's story, and Marty was featured in there. So his story is not only unique but inspirational to a lot.
25 years ago this past Sunday, the car wreck happened. Mm. I know this has got to be the NFL draft for Marty and his family, and really all of Harrison. It's got to be a time of year where people, again, are like, they get sentimental for that reason. I didn't think about it being that long, but yeah, 25 years ago this past Sunday, 2 days ago, that's when it all went down, unfortunately.
Think about this. In 20 or 22 years of life, he was able to make an impact, and through his brother's efforts, his legacy, so to speak, lives on. That, man, wouldn't it be cool? I mean, I don't expect people to remember me and talk about me 25 years after I've passed away. And certainly I didn't do anything in my first 22 years that would have merited that. So can you imagine living a full life and then 25 years, people, you know, still want to talk about, you know, not just the player he was, but the person he was. So that That's pretty cool right there.
Yep, Brandon, definitely have an impact again all these years later. And on the subject of the NFL, Tommy, did you see that it sounds like Jerry Jones and Ezekiel Elliott are rekindling?
I've seen this.
I thought that was interesting to see that the Cowboys are, quote-unquote, as Mike Florio and Phil Simms put it, all in, jokingly.
He is returning. They didn't boast the numbers in the initial reports. Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram says it's 1 year, $3 million.
It's finally official.
Physical this morning at 8 o'clock.
They are all in.
He is back. All in.
All in.
There's a lot of sarcasm that's infused in Florio and Sims's comment. I didn't understand what the Cowboys did this offseason. I mean, from what I read, it sure seemed like Derrick Henry was interested in the Dallas Cowboys. They didn't just get this insane salary for the Baltimore Ravens, and that's gonna be fun to watch Lamar Jackson and Henry. I just don't get it. And I like the Cowboys draft, I'm glad that they didn't try and go over the top or anything, because I feel like that sometimes has been an issue for Cowboys fans, is they just try to be flashy more than productive in the NFL draft. But I don't understand. I mean, you heard those comments from Jerry earlier in the offseason, and there's no evidence that proves or shows that they have been all in with this offseason. So if I'm a Cowboy fan, I am very, and a lot of them are, very disappointed with what's gone on so far.
And you follow it closer on the salary cap, and how much are they handcuffed by what they've spent already? Because
They're trying to get a long-term deal with Dak. They're trying to get a long-term deal with CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons, I guess, is another one that's coming up. So these are, I guess, the things they're trying to figure out and look and in the future and stuff.
I mean, I know it's Super Bowl or bust in a lot of people's minds, but it's not like they had a horrible season last year. It's not like they had a miserable failure that you needed an overhaul. So you say, well, they hadn't done a lot. Well, if you've got a lot of pieces coming back from a division championship team and a team that, would you say that team was, I don't know they're good enough to win the NFC, but they were good enough to get to the championship game. They just fell short. They had the pieces there. You agree with that?
The Cowboys are so much different in the regular season than they are in the playoffs. I mean, they have been really good in the regular season.
You think the pieces are there? Question is, which Dak do you get? San Francisco was just better.
Yeah, they don't have enough offensively to compete with San Francisco. I know Philly took a step back this last season relative to what people were expecting. But when you look at what San Francisco has and what Shanahan has at his disposal, it's not even close.
But they didn't play well kind of in the they slumped in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm. And then they turned it on, and you had to go through San Francisco to get to the Super Bowl. So no,
if you wanted to say the Cowboys were the second or third best team in the NFC,
you can get on board with that. Yeah,
So I mean, the idea that hey, you need an overhaul of your roster, an overhaul of they made what when the offensive coordinator. I'm just trying to remember off the top. Didn't they change coordinators? Well, I know they had some change in their coaching staff. Well,
Kellen Moore went to, I think, Los Angeles, and McCarthy took over calling plays. I don't know who, quote-unquote, is their offensive coordinator by title, but I think McCarthy actually took over for calling plays.
So, I mean, they're not far off is my point. I mean, the idea that they need to make a dozen changes in their roster, I don't think is
accurate. It's just add some offensive pieces and some DN. They just haven't to this point. We'll see if they end up doing anything. The Dallas Cowboys, again, the most popular team in this state, but the Kansas City Chiefs sure are catching up the way they've been. You saw what they did in the draft with Worthy and some of the guys that they've managed to draft / pick up last few seasons. It's just a different, it's night and day what Kansas City has right now versus is what the Dallas Cowboys have on offense, and it starts with the starting quarterback. And I just saw that Kelsey got signed, I think the highest tight end deal ever, 2-year deal. So they are they have restocked the shelves, if you will.
I need to find a hookup on some tickets, man. You just getting online secondary market just will crush you. Going to one of them guys, I'd like to take Dylan and my son-in-law to a game this year.
Arrowhead's,
but man, it's expensive.
I think I paid, so for me and my dad to go to open, he hadn't been to a game in Arrowhead in 35 years. That's where he grew up. But I think I paid $240 per ticket for good seats in the end zone. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that crushing to you?
No. I mean, but go look at Cowboy tickets for a decent game. I mean, that $240 will get you somewhere maybe within sight of the screen in the middle of the field. It's just nuts.
That's my brother that is resident right outside there, Dallas and Las Colinas. He's occasionally shot me some ticket prices before, and yeah, it's pretty gross. But it's 6:44 here on a Bandwagon Tuesday. Just to reiterate some of the stuff we got going off of the Open: Jonas Adu, Tennessee center, commits to your Arkansas Razorbacks. Dominique Johnson has entered the transfer portal, and then Brandon Garrison is making his decision today, the Oklahoma State center. So we will keep you updated across our radio stations, hitthatline.com, and our brand new Hit That Line Now app. And now it's 6:45 here on a Tuesday. Let's get into our favorite segment of the week, that's CJ's Trivia Tuesday.
This is CJ's Trivia Tuesday, presented by CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers in Fayetteville and Russellville.
It's delicious.
There must be 50 customers out there. It's unbelievable.
When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best.
So I was looking at Arkansas's all-time recruits this morning, and Cal has already gotten 3 of the top 10, at least in the modern era, recruits ever to sign with Arkansas, being Billy Richmond, Memphis kid, and played elsewhere last couple years of high school. You got Boogie Fland, and then I'm forgetting the other guy they just signed. You might have to help me on that. But 3 of the top 10 all-time signees with Arkansas basketball, which is pretty impressive to this point. And Carter Knox is the other one I'm thinking of. I want to know this morning, 877-377-6963. I want you to tell me who Arkansas' second highest rated recruit in the modern era is that signed with Arkansas but ended up going to the NBA. There's going to be a lot of guys with NBA aspirations in Fayetteville now. Mm. Not just transfers, not just former Kentucky guys that I guess are transfers, but also these high school kids. This young man was recruited by, I guess, Nolan Richardson and signed but elected to go to the NBA and in his future. And I think a lot of you, if you think about it, you know that name. It's not Andre Iguodala. I know that was the name. I think he ended up going to Arizona for a year or two, if I remember that timeline correct. It's not Andre Iguodala, so I'm giving you a little bit of help this morning. Do you know this answer off the top of your head?
It would mess the whole segment up.
Again, so one more time. Here's our CJ's Butcher Boy Burger trivia question. Arkansas' second highest rated recruit ever in the modern era that signed with Arkansas but ended up going to the NBA. Again, our number is 877-377-6963. And on the subject of the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder closed out the New Orleans Pelicans last night. Happy to see Isaiah and Jalen moving on to that next round.
The Thunder will sweep the series in this first round over the New Orleans Pelicans. As SGA dribbles out the clock here in New Orleans, the Thunder enjoy a 97-89 win over New Orleans.
So happy to see Isaiah, happy to see Jalen move on. I don't know who they're playing in the next round, but that was if you missed staying up late last night, that's what happened. All right, we're going to go to Jimmy and Conway, who's got our CJ's Trivia Tuesday question possibly answered. Jimmy, who is the player, second highest rated recruit ever, that signed with Arkansas, ended up going to the NBA?
Al Jefferson.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding. Al Jefferson, who had a long career in the National Basketball Association. Would have loved. He played for a bunch of teams. Bobcats, Celtics.
But did he come out to the Celtics?
Drafted? I don't know where he's drafted. But yes, that
Do you know that, Jimmy, for no additional prizes?
No, I don't.
I
would have saved Stan Heath's job, but he didn't come.
So was it Stan Heath that recruited him? I was thinking it was Nolan, but that might have been
Iguodala was Nolan. I
guess those mixed up, yeah. Maybe. Whatchamacallit? You have him, and there's some. That is a player you might be thinking of. ISO Joe, Tommy Joe Johnson. I think he was drafted the Celtics. That's who you might be thinking. I could be wrong, but that's who I was thinking about. But yeah, the second highest rated recruit ever that didn't make it to campus. Jimmy, good answer, man. We will get you that CJ's Butcher Boy Burger gift card, and appreciate you listening this morning. Every Tuesday at 6:45, we do our CJ's Butcher Boy Burger trivia, and really appreciate Jimmy. Really appreciate all of our listeners this morning. What was it?
First team, or I just reading again from the highly credible source of Wikipedia. 2004 to 07 played with the Celtics, then played for the T-Wolves, the Jazz, Bobcats and Hornets, Pacers. And then looks like he played in China after he ended his NBA career in 18.
He was a guy that
was the Celtics.
Went to several NBA teams. Someone said Kevin
Garnett. Selected by the Celtics in the first round of the 04 draft, 15th overall pick.
Someone said Kevin Garnett. That would have been awesome if KG was was thinking about becoming an Arkansas Razorback, but like Al, ended up going straight out of high school. So that is, again, your answer, courtesy of our friends at CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. I was going to get a chance to catch up with Keith this week. I know he's excited about this Arkansas baseball team. I saw Peyton Stovall with their day off, got a chance to go to CJ's on Sunday. That is the thing that the baseball players like to do when they do have a day off, or it's a Thursday through Saturday series. A lot of them, including Peyton, who is a spokesman for CJ's, will travel over to the Weddington location in Fayetteville, get the best burgers, the best fries. I don't know if they're drinking milkshakes, but they're definitely doing all that stuff at CJ's at both locations.
Number two, no bun. Give me the onions, grilled onions, and the mushrooms. And if you double up on the cheese, that's better. Now, I've convinced myself, since there's no bun, it's somehow
healthier
for you. And I can't eat all the fries.
Lettuce wrap.
I don't like the lettuce wrap. Just give me a knife and fork. I'll just eat it like a hamburger steak. Skip the fries. Maybe you're with somebody that gets fries. They're not going to eat them all, so I'll just steal a few out of your tray and satisfy my fry.
Get the fry sauce.
Fry sauce if you get the fries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go chicken sandwich, grilled chicken sandwich, do the fry sauce instead of mayonnaise. Extra pickles, tomatoes if you want them. Good to go.
Mm-hmm. And that's, again, courtesy of our friends at CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. Two locations in Russellville and in Fayetteville. CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best. So the NBA games on tonight. I mentioned the games that happened. OKC moves on. Boston's up 3-1 after a 14 win over Miami. Denver knocks out LeBron James, and they move on, winning their series 4-1. You've got the 76ers versus Chuck's Knicks tonight at 6 on TNT, the Magic versus the Cavs on NBA TV at 7, and then the Bucks and the Pacers, Bobby Portis and Patrick Beverley later on at 8:30 tonight. So that is the setup. Bucks on the brink of elimination, as are the Philadelphia 76ers. So we'll see if both those teams are eliminated or if any of them survive. Anthony Black, unfortunately, not playing much for the Magic. I wish they would feature him more, but the playoff rotation, as the NCAA tournament rotation for most men's basketball teams really shrinks, and it has for some of these rookies and younger guys for Arkansas basketball that maybe played some of the regular season, not getting much game time in the postseason.
Yeah, it's all on the line right now. Go with veteran hands. So, but it's fun to watch. It's fun to see. It also makes you pause and wonder. And you did get to some Sweet 16s and Elite 8s, but with all that talent, Hal, you just didn't get the break you needed to get through to the next level, because that's how you do it with NBA guys. And, you know, makes you also wonder how Cal didn't do it more at Kentucky, but it makes you hopeful for what you're seeing in those first five recruits and the fours and five-star guys there that, hey, a lot of those guys are going to play down the road in the NBA as well.
A lot of Cal guys, NBA. Jamal Murray ended LeBron's season last night. He's not the only one that's had a good playoff run.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is the number one source for all your sports betting this season and every season. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends all at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. The fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Go to BetOnline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Bruce, do you have someone that comes to directly to your mind when you think about that question, who you'd be up on stage with that would just be giving you a new one?
Oh, it'd probably be my youngest brother, Billy. He's about 6'5", doesn't care what anybody thinks, says vulgar stuff. It'd probably be my brother Billy.
Okay. Yeah. Now, family members know us best. There's a that's very true. All right. Well, the big news here on these airwaves, Bruce, is the commitment of Jonas Adu and the signing of Jonas Adu. What did you think about not just him visiting Arkansas, but him deciding that he wants to play with Cal in his final season of eligibility?
Well, that one was, I think, if you read the reports from Rick Barnes, that was kind of a puzzler. I think he thought they were cool, and then the next day, Jonas turned in his name in the transfer portal. So I really think he was caught off guard. No doubt, most improved player in the SEC last year. I think y'all talked earlier what he did on the Valentine's Day massacre up at Bub Walton. So he's a great player. He's not a stretch five. He can hit that mid-range jumper, take a big man out. Top defensive player, all SEC defense, all first team SEC, second on the team in score that went to the Elite Eight and won the championship. So he's a great player, and I think he'll fit Cal's system well. He obviously had a really great game up at Rupp when they were going through that losing streak earlier this year. But it's a big signing.
So Awaka goes to Arizona, Nelson's staying in Alabama. What are some of the more notable SEC basketball moves that you've kept an eye on these last few days?
Well, I mean, Tennessee, obviously, that they've gone out in the portal themselves. They got Felix Opara from Ohio State, averaged almost 3 blocks a game. So more of a true five than what Adu was. So I think that's going to be their starting center. They went out and got Darlington Dubar, averaged 18 and 6 from Hofstra, one of the top 50 players in the portal. So, those are two really big signings for Tennessee, people that will probably come in and start. But, Adu, just based on what he's done at Tennessee and in the SEC, you have to say that's probably one of the bigger signings in the portal.
You also have two former Razorbacks last night, Bruce, that are moving on to the next round of the NBA playoffs, that being the Oklahoma City Thunder, who sweep the New Orleans Pelicans. Isaiah and Jalen, both happy to see them get to the next level. Isaiah had 2 points last night, and Jalen filled up the stat sheet with several different categories all over the place. You feeling good about your Oklahoma City Thunder in round number two?
Well, Northside Grizzlies representing again. So, yeah, feeling real good about the Thunder. I like the 4-5 matchup, whether it's the Mavericks or the Clippers. I think the Thunder will have the upper hand on that. It's just a matter are they going to be able to beat the Nuggets in the finals? That's a tough ask. Nuggets are for real. And when Jamal Murray's driving and popping, I mean, everybody knows what Djokovic can do. It's that's going to be a tough out, but hey, let's enjoy the Thunder sweeping and in the semifinals. So that's awesome.
Yeah, hoping Dallas moves on so you can have a Daniel Gafford and Jalen Williams front court matchup from time to time in that series, and having three Arkansas Razorbacks a part of that. All right, we've talked basketball. Let's talk some baseball. It is your Pradco Pyramid of Power.
Who are the best baseball teams in the SEC?
SEC! SEC!
Let's find out.
Perhaps I could be of some assistance.
This is the Pradco Pyramid of Power.
All right, do we have any shakeup?
Yeah.
At the top this week?
I thought this was one of the more difficult Pradco Pyramid of Powers to put together because you could make a case for the top four teams being in four different orders, I thought. As tight as it is at the top. I mean, we talk about parity in a league. We talk about being top heavy. I don't know how you really describe the SEC right now. That's got nine teams in the D1 top 25. Let's see, 11 teams in the top 30. 5, 6, 7, 8. Not, yeah, 11 teams in the top 30 of the RPI. It's just crazy tight at the top right now. I have moved Arkansas back to the top spot this week in the Pradco Pyramid of Power. They won 2 of 3 from Florida. Kentucky moves down to number 2 because they lost 2 of 3 to South Carolina. He said, well, that's pretty easy. Well, you could certainly move A&M up there, who won 2 of 3 against Georgia, who's on the rise, and their RPI is a surprising number 9 in the country if you haven't paid attention to Georgia. I got A&M at 3, and Tennessee, who's won 6 in a row. Now, they swept Missouri over the weekend. They get Florida this weekend. They're number 3 in the D1 baseball poll. Bruce, I think you can make a case for, you know, 3 of those 4 teams with A&M, Arkansas, and Kentucky to be at number 1, or at least Arkansas and A&M. Kentucky probably not so much after losing 2 of 3 to Carolina, but I got Arkansas 1, Kentucky 2. How do you have them stacked up this week?
Well, I picked Ty's favorite team, the Aggies. Okay. What impressed me about them this weekend, they were down 9-0 to Georgia in the first inning. Well, by the time the bottom of the first happened, it was 10-9 A&M. And they ended up mercy ruling them 19-9 in 7 innings. So they were down 9-0 and put a mercy rule on Georgia. They're 38-6, 15-6. A&M just keeps winning. That, to me, they had the more impressive weekend against the more impressive opponent. And obviously, they're still behind Arkansas by a game. But I picked the Aggies number 1, Arkansas number 2. I mean, no doubt. The way they won that first game of the doubleheader Saturday, Peyton Holt stealing the show with the power show, and then the punk of the year in center field, they're number 2. And then I had the Vols number 3, best hitting team in college baseball. Actually showed they could win pitching games. They won 3-2 twice against Missouri, so they don't have to outslug you to beat you.
Yeah, so we've got them in a much different order. So I guess you have Kentucky at 4, I'm assuming?
I debated even keeping Kentucky in the top 6. Wow. But yeah, I got him at 4. I got him at 4.
Wow. They're 16-5 and leading the East. May not make your top 6.
Dude, they lost 10-0 on Sunday in South Carolina.
I know. I thought Arkansas, and I'm not homering up, I thought Arkansas's ability from the mound to really keep the power and the home run hitting at bay for Florida. Now, I know that the third game got away from them with the grand slam, but I thought Arkansas's pitching showed out in a lot of ways over the weekend. That's why I put them at 1. Certainly could make a case for A&M to be 1 or 2. I just kept Kentucky 2 because that makes it 1 versus 2 this weekend, and those are the teams with a better conference record right now. All right, so we agree on the same teams in the top 4. We just got them in a bit different order. I've moved Mississippi State to 5. They had an impressive weekend, taking 2 of 3 on the road at Vanderbilt. They have a winning conference record at 12-9, which you're starting to have a hard time finding winning conference records once you get past about team 7 right now in this league. And I've moved Mississippi State, who I think is playing some really good baseball, up to the 5th spot. Their RPI right now is only 28. They're 16th in the D1 baseball poll. I got Mississippi State at number 5.
Yeah, I saw that. They're coming on, but South Carolina taking 2 out of 3 against Kentucky, I just thought that was more impressive.
Okay.
They're 29-14, 11-10. So I just felt like they had a better weekend, taking 2 out of 3 from the East leading Kentucky.
All right, I got South Carolina at 6 right behind them, and I just, the reason I separated them is Mississippi State's record is, as you just pointed out, the one game better, and winning on the road at Vandy and winning in South Carolina, winning, they won at home against Kentucky. So, yeah, that was the difference in my mind. So I got Arkansas at 1, Kentucky at 2, A&M at 3, even though they're top ranked in the poll, Tennessee at 4, State at 5, and South Carolina at 6. Who is your 6th team?
Yeah, the only difference, I guess, I didn't put Mississippi State in my poll. I had Georgia.
Okay.
I just think Charlie Condon's hitting .461. He's got about 300 home runs. I mean, he's just dominating when he gets up. They did lose 2 out of 3 to A&M, but they did beat A&M, and they smacked the ball around. So Georgia definitely looking like a team that will compete in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I got Vandy, Georgia, and Bama kind of my next 3 in. Then Florida, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU, Auburn, Mizzou at the bottom of my league. And, man, looking at the RPI, it looks like 11 teams right now in a great position to make the NCAA tournament. Huge weekend for LSU, who host A&M. If they figure out a way to win that series, their RPI is going to rise from 42. I don't know if they can do that, but they are at home. Weird things happen in Baton Rouge, and A&M at LSU. I think you've got to root for LSU this weekend, obviously, if you're a Razorback fan.
Well, you never root for LSU, but I guess you will this weekend. I guess the question you got to ask between Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Tennessee, who wants to be ranked number one going into the NCAA tournament? I'd throw some of these midweek games and just get a couple losses on there just to kind of check the brakes a little bit. Yeah. But let's be ranked number 2 or 3 and not wear that number one crown. It never works.
Speaking of midweek games, as I was looking at the schedule, there's a Wednesday night game between Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Now, that's not a conference series. It's a one-off in the middle of the week, and this is something they've done for years. I don't know the history, and I didn't take the time to research it all out, but Ole Miss and Mississippi State play on Wednesday night, and then later on in the weekend, let's see, Ole Miss is at Auburn, and Bama's at Mississippi State, so that is not the beginning of their weekend series.
Well, I mean, what else are you going to do if you live in Mississippi? You might as well play each other.
I guess. Got Tennessee and Florida this weekend. Vandy at Georgia. That's an interesting series to me to see what Vanderbilt can do. And you're talking about the upstart or the uprising Georgia Bulldogs right now. We know that Arkansas at Kentucky. I just mentioned Ole Miss at Auburn and Bama at Mississippi State. South Carolina at Missouri. They should be able to have a chance to win 3 this weekend. And then A&M and LSU, I think, is a critical series. Arkansas and Kentucky is going to get a lot of attention, but it's another moving weekend, if you will, in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the best team in the West, Arkansas, versus the best team in the East, Kentucky, that's the marquee matchup. I think Kentucky, you know, they can play small ball. They have timely, good pitching. Can they make a few dents against Arkansas's great starting pitching and make a series of it? Kentucky's been setting attendance records this year. I'm sure with Cal coming to Arkansas and Big Z coming to Arkansas, there's probably a little more animosity toward Arkansas than usual. So I think it'll be a spicy crowd.
Yeah. How many runs are scored? I'd love to know the over-under for the Tennessee-Florida series. Those are two power-hitting teams that hit a lot of homers and score a lot of runs.
Yeah, you know, Tennessee leads NCAA in home runs. Florida's got Big Jack. I'd say they'll probably be 3 to 4 home runs hit a game. I'll set the line at 11 home runs in a 3-game series.
All right, sounds good to me. So, fun weekend. Just, what, 3 weekends left in SEC play. Arkansas plays this weekend at Kentucky, then you got A&M, and then you got Mississippi State too. What did I say? Kentucky, A&M, Mississippi State.
Flip them.
Oh, A&M's on the tail end. That's the last one. So, yeah, flip-flop those
two. That's a tough slate.
At
the beginning of the year, you wouldn't have think that slate would have been as tough as it is. But that's a tough slate.
And Mississippi State's a Mother's Day weekend, and they do play that Sunday.
Graduation's weekend, that weekend, too.
Weekend series.
And who would have thought that Arkansas's maybe toughest series, as you just kind of alluded to, Bruce, was on the road in Lexington and on the road in College Station. That's who Arkansas is going to have to beat for the overall SEC title and the SEC West division crown this year. Didn't think that was going to happen, but that's where things are right now.
Yeah.
Hey, who'd have thought Coach Cal would be in Fayetteville, Arkansas?
I don't, there's not a single person on this planet outside of maybe John Tyson that thought they had a snowball's chance of getting Cal here to Fayetteville.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, so we've had a couple Arkansas Razorbacks sign recently with NFL teams. Trajan Jeffcoat signs with the Saints. Al Walcott signs with the Buffalo Bills. I'm excited to watch. I'm not even a Bills fan, but I'm excited to watch Josh Allen and Keon Coleman this upcoming season. Apparently, Allen sent Keon Coleman a text. I know our coworker Karen loves her Buffalo Bills, and Stephon Diggs, I guess, is a Houston Texan now, so curious to see how that goes. But two more Razorbacks, Tommy, signing with NFL teams from this past season.
Yep, and, you know, it's moving time of the year, right? It's got to be ready to move in him. I was texting with someone during the break about Adu, and we heard from Bruce Stanton earlier in the hour. Isn't it funny? We used to say politics make strange bedfellows, but now with the portal and the NIL, college basketball and college football can make strange bedfellows. We've learned that with Cal coming here, and then now players that were on Tennessee's roster or Kentucky's roster, you know, you're glad they're on your roster. But it's funny the strange bedfellows college sports can now make.
Yep, and speaking of the transfer portal, it sounds like Dominique Johnson, according to Hogbeat, is moving on from Arkansas. This is still my favorite touchdown in his career.
It's amazing. He just looked different at that point. Jefferson gets out of trouble again. Throws on the run, wide open! It's Dominique Johnson and an Arkansas touchdown!
Baton Rouge 2021, KJ escapes, finds a wide open Damo, as Sam Pittman calls him, and the only touchdown Arkansas scored that game. And Cam Little kicks a game-winning field goal in overtime. You escape Baton Rouge for one of your few victories down there. That is, again, Damo had a much better 2021 in his sophomore season than any other year at Arkansas. Banged up, tore his ACL twice, and I'm going to guess was third or fourth on the depth chart based on playing time in the red-white game and now trying to go elsewhere. Don't know where he's going to land, but I hope the best for him. It's just not going to be in Fayetteville, it sounds like.
No, and with Augustif already leaving, it, you know, raises some question marks about where you're at with your running back room. Let's see, you got R-Dub, and who's the new guy?
Jaquinta Jackson.
Jackson. So, you know, somebody's got to want to come in out of the portal and understand their likely role to be a three or a four.
Yep.
And that's kind of where things are at. And you got others that are in that room. So, I mean, I'm not going to say there's not carries, and we know injuries happen. But that's where you're at right now.
You mentioned talking with whoever about Jonas Adu. He signs with Arkansas last night.
Here's Adu with the steal. And take it himself.
He was a guy last season that came into Bud Walton Arena and just pulverized you and had successful outings against some other SEC competition. 90 games under his belt. That's what I like. This guy's played 90 games for the Tennessee Volunteers, much of it in conference, improved every season for Rick Barnes and company. You're getting a veteran in this league, a guy that knows what it takes in terms of a physicality standpoint, and you might not be done. Brandon Garrison commits at 12 o'clock later on today. There's pretty decent indication he could wind up as an Arkansas Razorback, so make sure you listen at halftime. But you've added to your team now 5 of your 13 scholarship rosters, or roster. What am I? I can't think of that word. Roster positions filled.
Roster
so
spots,
far, spots,
maybe?
That's the word I'm looking for.
So 5 of 13 done, and I think the timing is something worth noting. I think John Calipari likes each of those guys to get their spotlight and their due, and I think the way these have been somewhat spaced out is not by accident always. So I think you know, one a day is maybe what you're in can expect moving forward. I guess Garrison's at noon today, is that right?
Yes,
noon today. So maybe you'll find out about him, and hopefully that's good news. And if it's not, I would suspect there'll be another name or another player maybe all of a sudden right on the heels of that announcement of Garrison's announcement doesn't go your direction.
Other news here on your Hog Update. Richard Davenport had the commitment for Joe Moore, who's an offensive lineman from Syracuse, had an official visit this weekend in Fayetteville and is committed to Arkansas. Mentioned earlier, Penny Hardaway is wanting Memphis to play the Razorbacks this season. He thinks there's an indication that would lead him to leave. A non-conference matchup could happen this year. Not only is Arkansas baseball back in action tonight in Bob Walker Stadium, final midweek games of the season, Missouri State tonight at 6:30. Tomorrow at 4, the Arkansas softball team also plays this in Conway. As we've been talking about, Hagan Smith
plays when in Conway?
Today at 7 in Conway. Okay. It's on the SEC or ESPN Plus. We've mentioned how Hagan Smith is trying to be the all-time leader in terms of strikeouts. Hannah Gamble is also trying to hit the home run record at Arkansas. She's at 44. The all-time record is Lenny Malkin at 50. So she has a chance potentially to lead Arkansas in home runs at the end of her career, or at least continue to climb on that chart. All right, that is your Hog Update this morning. It is always brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
Brent is in Searcy this morning on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. He loves what's going on in Arkansas basketball recruiting. What's up, Brent?
Absolutely, I do. I want to ask your guys' opinions, Ty and Tommy, on do you think getting Drew from Tennessee hurts our chances getting Brandon Garrison?
I don't think so, based on Cal's track record, and I don't know how he does it. I think it's like the competition. It's like, you know, iron sharpens iron, that old phrase that your dad, your grandpa always used. He probably uses something similar with these guys. He's like, you're going to be playing NBA caliber competition, not just in SEC play at times, but each practice. And I know for me, being around certain people in athletics over the years, the better people I was around, the better I had to get. So I think while there might be some negative recruiting against that, Brent, I think that he's managed to get by that after all these years in Lexington.
I could not agree with you more, and I think that practice will be tougher for the Razorbacks than games probably this year, I'm suspecting.
Yeah, that was what it was in the Nolan days, right? I mean, we were lucky to have Davor Remox on with us this past Friday, and that's what he told us. He was like, yeah, practice was harder in games. He had the second team that beat the first team at times, and that first team was comprised of a college basketball just savant in Corliss Williamson, Scotty, Corey, Clint McDaniel. I'm forgetting. I think that Dwight Stewart started also on that team, but you think about that team versus the guys that would come off the bench and Al Diller, Davor, and some of the other guys. That's why I was so that's why that team was so good, because of the depth they had. And that's why Cal's teams have been good. I know the postseason hasn't gone according, but the depth that they have. Think about when you went up against Kentucky these last 10 to 15 years. And it was so annoying when you'd get some great player in foul trouble, or some talented player was having an off night, and then another guy would step up. That's what he's trying to build here in Fayetteville, where guys will be off one game or they'll get into foul trouble, and you just keep bringing in dudes. It's that getting off the bus team that you're hoping to have.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
All right, Big C, we've got the NBA playoffs going on. Like I mentioned, Isaiah Joe, Jalen Williams in action last night. What did they manage to do for the Thunder?
good night for the Thunder last night for completing the sweep. Isaiah Joe and Jalen Williams each scored in the Thunder's 97-89 Game 4 victory over the Pelicans. Isaiah had 2 points and a rebound. Williams had 3 points, 2 rebounds, a steal, and a few blocks. They cruised in that first opening round series.
And we heard Bruce say, you get the Mavericks or you get the Clippers. Yeah. I want the Mavericks. Partially because obviously you're a Dallas Maverick fan. Like to see them move on for you, Big C, and also Daniel Gafford. 3 Razorbacks that you could see in the Western Conference semifinals.
Yep, I hope it's the Mavericks as well. They've got some work to do. Daniel Gafford for the Mavericks had 5 points, 5 rebounds, and 18 minutes of action on Sunday. The Mavs' furious comeback effort fell short against the Clippers, 116-111 after trailing by 31 points in the first half. The series is tied 2-2, and they are back in L.A., I believe, game 5 is tomorrow.
Yeah, Luka's got to pick it up. He mentioned he feels like he's been letting Kyrie down. This is a guy that has been counted upon the last few years for Dallas and just not having a productive playoff thus far.
Now, Bobby Portis, not the greatest news on him. He got ejected in the first quarter of the Bucks-Pacers game on Sunday after drawing 2 technical fouls on the same play. Portis and Nembhard were called for technical fouls for shoving one another. Then officials gave Portis a 2nd technical for slapping Nembhard in the head. The Pacers won the game 126-113, and they lead the series 3-1. Portis had 4 points and 3 rebounds in 6 minutes of play. Teammate Patrick Beverley had 9 points, 4 assists, and a steal in 20 minutes.
Yeah, with Giannis, and I can't remember if Damian's playing tonight or not, but Tommy, you brought that up earlier this week. I mean, you just can't get baited. Like, this is a guy that is the number one option right now for Milwaukee, and Doc Rivers and his team are counting on him. Even if the Pacers are trying to pull some antics, either during plays or after plays, you can't fall into that trap, or they're going to get eliminated tonight.
And now you've got, these are things that other players know that, hey, if you're a little bit of a hothead or you've got a propensity to do that, they'll do exactly what just happened and bait you into that situation. So, you've got to be aware, and he's been around long enough to know, the tricks of the trade. And I don't think any of that was necessarily, I don't say they planned to get him thrown out, but they planned to put him in that trouble because they knew, you can get Portis out of the equation, they got a great chance to win.
Yeah, if you punk him, the series is over. I think Bobby will bounce back tonight, just knowing what he typically brings to a basketball court. I expect him to have a really strong game against the Pacers tonight.
Where's that game at?
I think it's in Indianapolis, but I could be wrong on that.
I think
that.
It may be back at Milwaukee.
Is it back in Milwaukee? Well, yeah, Pacers,
one of you's right.
Pacers are up 3-1. I got a
phone in my hand. I'll look it up.
I don't remember if that game is in... I thought it was back, but I could be wrong on that.
It's hard.
It's two. I get confused sometimes. It is in Milwaukee. You're right, Big C. It's 2-2 because the series changed. It used to be 2-3-2, but I think it's shifted back to 2-2-1-1-1.
Which is better.
It's way better.
Sixers at Knicks tonight. Orlando at Cleveland tonight, and Indiana at Milwaukee.
Knicks will close it out. Cavs will win, and I think Bobby could have a good game, but I think the Pacers will ultimately win game 5 tonight.
Miami and Boston tomorrow, Dallas and the Clippers.
Let's go Mavs.
Tomorrow.
Let's go Mavs.
That's the best series. The one that
3-1,
hard to predict.
Boston leads 3-1, then the Mavericks and the Clips are tied.
Hopefully Boston just beats the punks Miami so Jordan Walsh can get in some minutes at the tail end of that game. All right, what else we got, Big C? You got baseball?
I got NFL.
Oh, NFL.
In the NFL, the Jaguars drafted Cam Little on the 212th pick. Bo Limmer was selected a few picks later to the Rams. Dwight McLaughlin was signed by the Minnesota Vikings. The Patriots signed undrafted free agent John Morgan III. The Buccaneers signed former Arkansas linebacker Antonio Greer Jr. as an undrafted free agent. The Bills invited Arkansas defensive back Alfaim Walcott to a rookie minicamp. Brady Latham signed with the Jets as an undrafted free agent, and the Saints signed undrafted free agent Trajan Jeffcoat.
I think that's 8, if I remember counting that up right. So 2 Razorbacks drafted, I think 6 signing of some sort. Hoping to see some more names that eventually make the roster. The biggest ones, though, being Limmer to the Rams and Little to the Jags that are at least drafted off the off this weekend.
I'm not going to give you all the stats of the Hogs in the MLB, but I will talk about Andrew Benintendi and what he did Saturday night against the Rays. Trailing by a run in the 10th inning, he blasted a two-run walk-off homer to give the White Sox an 8-7 win.
I think that's their like sixth or seventh win of the season. So I remember Chuck was telling us that earlier this week. They're bad this year, but Benintendi, that was one of the few bright spots from this weekend. So again, he's typically, when I wake up in the morning, it's not just guys in the NBA that are having an impact the night before, but a lot of former Arkansas Razorback baseball players, specifically Dave Van Horn, that are making waves in the MLB too.
All right, that's your Pro Hog update. Yeah, 6-23 for the White Sox.
Ugh.
Ugh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I don't know a single White Sox fan. I know plenty of Big C's, a Cubs fan.
I know one.
I don't know a single Chicago White Sox fan out there.
I would hate to be one. I really would.
Before we talk to Tom Murphy, let's talk to Lane, who's in Cave City, home of the best watermelons in the state. What's up, Lane?
Hey, not much, guys. Y'all doing all right?
Doing good, buddy.
Hey, so this ain't Razorback related, but I just want to get y'all's opinion on it. So I'm not an NBA guy. I kind of pay a little bit of attention during playoffs when they actually start playing. But I heard on SportsCenter this morning LeBron remarked about whether he was going to be a Laker next year or not, and he wouldn't answer the question. My take on it, guys, is maybe he's just doing that for publicity. I mean, getting people to just talk about him through the off season since he's not going to be in the playoffs. Just kind of want to see what y'all's thoughts were on that.
All right, Lane. Well, if you missed it, here was the exchange.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that.
He's got his right to not answer it, but here's the thing. This has been a failure. Los Angeles, it's about championships. They've got 1 in 6 years. They've had some runs. He's played well, but he's not the same caliber player that he used to be. And they can't. And it's not on him. He has to be a second or third guy, and I don't know if he's willing to do that anymore in his future. I think that he's wanting to play with his son. In fact, he's been open about wanting to play with his son. His son can't play in the NBA. He can't play college, and he can't play in the NBA. So he's trying to shove a square peg through a round hole. It's not going to happen. Or some franchise is going to give him everything he wants, and it's going to be a failure, as it's been with the exception of that one NBA Finals win in the bubble, which some say didn't even count as a failure. So that is LeBron James. Again, his trajectory, the ending of his career, it's in a tailspin. I know Michael had the Wizards years where that was just a different situation, but Michael ends it with the Bulls with the championship in 98 against Utah. LeBron is ending it in this way where they didn't get swept, but they basically got swept by the Nuggets last night. All right, let's talk to our friend Tom Murphy on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Tom, we haven't talked a ton of baseball yet this morning, so we'll start that with you. One of your colleagues wrote a good piece about Will McIntyre's struggles, and I know Brady Tiger, Coach Van Horn came to his defense, but really last 3, 4, 5 outings, Mac has not been what we've expected him to be this year. What have you taken away from one of Arkansas's, if not their strongest bullpen guy, and do you expect him to turn it around these coming weeks?
Good morning, y'all. Hey, yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. Baseball is so mental, and I just think that his cutter is not having the same action. This is just a guess. It's not breaking the way it had been earlier in the season. And teams are able to square up on the pitch better. And so the mechanics of pitching and repeating the motion is such an art. And I'm sure they've broken it down on all the technology they have. I was trying to think of the name of it, and it's just not coming to me. But, well, the melody or harmony, something like Rhapsody.
Yeah.
One of those. Anyway, I'm sure they've broken that down motion, you know, millisecond by millisecond on release point and everything like that. And so he just needs to have a good outing or two and rediscover his pitch motion and release point and all those things. Because, you know, early in the season, he was so dominant, you know, people were saying, you know, he's found a pitch much like Kevin Copps did. I mean, that's the level of his dominance. His ERA was in the ones for quite a while. But his last several outings have not gone well. The good thing for Arkansas is they've got a bullpen that you can pick and choose on a given day. I mean, Faraday had a great performance the other day, another right-hander, and, you know, Cooper Dossett has thrown well, and I mean, you could go on and on about the arms that they could turn to, but you know, a veteran guy who's been on the mound at the College World Series more than once in pressure situations and super regionals and big games, you'd really like to have his services. But if he doesn't, you know, turn it around, he's not going to be on the mound. He's not going to piggyback Hagan Smith on a Friday. I mean, he's got to be able to find it.
What about Kendall Diggs? And Tom, I know he's nursing, I think it's a shoulder injury, but Dave got asked about him too. And I know he was dealing that when the slump kind of happened, but are you expecting him to get back into form, or is it going to take a few weeks before we see the Kendall Diggs we're used to?
Well, I mean, no one knows the answer to that. And it's just like with McIntyre. Baseball's so mental. The confidence game is big. And he is on an extended slump now that's lasted multiple weeks and hasn't affected his defense, which is good. But what did something happen in his swing when his shoulder was hurting that he can't now get back to what he had been before? Because, you know, he's come up with the bases loaded I don't know how many times in the last month. And his numbers with the bases loaded were, I think, in the batting in the 400s, he just had an unbelievable average and production rate with the bases loaded before, and this year just hasn't been there for him. And you know, they could have made the complexion of games different in the last few weeks, even conference games, if he had delivered in, you know, in the clutch. And he's in that situation where guys like McLaughlin and Aloy, Stovall are getting on ahead of him, and he's left them on the bases a good bit. So you know he wants to. You know he's hurting. You know his teammates are propping him up. But it's just like McIntyre, man. He's just at some point he's going to have to start delivering, because, you know, without him, I don't see how they go deep into June unless he's back on in the game.
Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Hagan Smith becomes just the third Razorback to eclipse 300 strikeouts in a career. He's now second, trailing only to Nick Smith at 345. Does he catch Nick Smith? He's got three regular season starts. I don't know that he's guaranteed a start at the SEC tournament. Then you'd have one in the regional, and you assume the super regionals and maybe beyond. Can he catch 35 more strikeouts with what's still ahead with 3 weeks left in the regular season?
Right. As a prop bet, the odds would be in your favor. He's averaging about six innings an outing, and so, you know, 18 innings. And if you look up his strikeout rate, it's going to put him right on it, probably on the third start, you know, the last start of the regular season at A&M. And you're right. I wouldn't say he's guaranteed a start in Hoover, but you want to keep him on schedule. So he'll probably pitch in Hoover the first game, I would think. And so the odds are strongly in favor of him surpassing Nick Schmidt.
He had 11 strikeouts over this past weekend in their series against Florida. So I think we, you know, we're just so used to records and we're so used to these elite performances. I don't think we really truly have found the gravity in what we're watching here with Hagan Smith.
Yeah, and I don't know, it feels like it was about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, we were asking Dave Van Horn about him, and he kind of mentioned he hopes the fans recognize this. And after his last start, he said, when he's on, he's as good as anybody I've ever had. So, you know, another lefty, Nick Schmidt. And Hagan is just such a humble guy. He doesn't say a whole lot. He just wants to win. And what a leader-type personality to have in your clubhouse. But the tough part being his last two starts have both been 2-1 games. He got the win in the first one, and he did not in the second against Florida. So they've got a this was a deal early in the season when they weren't scoring runs for him, and then they went through a stretch where they did. And, and there's a point where they're probably going to start stretching him out a little bit more to prepare him for, you know, 105, 110 pitch outing if he needs to get through the seventh or get through the eighth inning of a big game down the road. So what a valuable piece to have leading off your pitching staff every weekend.
Particularly until Molina's back and solid, because, you know, McIntyre hasn't been the sharpest the last few outings either. And, you know, you don't need to eat into your long relief in game one, knowing that, you know, you're not exactly solid behind that. That's the one thing that right now Arkansas needs to find a little more stability with.
Exactly.
Other than hitting, everybody talks about hitting, but it's not as solid pitching as people think.
Right, and you look at the course of a season, and here they are ranked number two. I mean, they've been, if it wasn't for Texas A&M having an unbelievable season, they would have been one from week three or whatever it was up until now. But it's come with, you know, ups and downs. It's come with having to figure out different situations in the bullpen. And they've tinkered with their roster all season long. I think they've had 17 or 18 different starting lineups. Different guys have been hot. But the pitching, the starting pitching behind Smith,
yeah.
Tigard has seemed to steady himself pretty well. But, you know, who knows? I mean, if Molina, you know, he can't continue to walk guys and give free bases. Or who knows? They might find a spot for Bybee. And, you know, I don't know what's happening with Colin Fisher. He's not starting tonight. But, he's a guy who could potentially start you a big postseason game.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.